Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction and free shipping. And that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hang on to your balls. It's time for the Horror Hangout Podcast.
Welcome to the Horror Hangout Podcast, where two bearded film fans watch the 50 best horror movies ever and then talk about them. My name is Luke Condor with a K, and I'm joined by my regular co-host, Mr.
Ben Errington.
How's it going, Ben?
I'm good. Yeah, good. Comfortable.
Good. And then we've got someone joining us for the Turkey, the trilogy. I think it's been three episodes.
It has in a row.
In a row. Mr. Andy Condor-Turn. How's it going, Andy?
Yeah, I'm really good. Hey, guys.
So, what's everyone up to right now? What's everyone been up to today?
Working.
Yep.
Now I'm relaxing in bed. It's lovely. Yeah.
Ben's got his feet tucked into his bed, into his duvet.
Yeah, I've got a hot water bottle as well.
Have you?
Hotty body on. Nice.
Hotty body. I'm so cold. I'm like chilled to the bone. I think I'm coming down with something. That's why.
Yeah. Have a bath. Have a really nice hot bubble bath.
I did that. It was lovely.
Yeah.
Nearly fell asleep there.
Oh,
nearly.
Yeah.
Oh. If that happens, you fall asleep in the bath. Freddie, get you.
Freddie, yeah. Get me. He'll get his knives between my legs.
Ugh. Yep. No one wants that.
Circumcision.
No one wants that. Sliced yeah. And diced.
What about you, Andy? What have you been into today?
Same as a bit of a Monday work and then
bath.
Standard after work stuff. No, out in the rain with the dogs.
Yeah.
Karen's still at work today, so they are currently. Oh, got him. There he is. He's kipping.
Wait, what is he wearing? Is that like a...
It's just his handle, so you can catch him. So
it looks very shiny. Is it like a...
He's at the distance.
Is it like a lever? It looks very leathery.
No, it's... I don't know, whatever dog the harness material is. I'm not sure what it's made of, but it's a good sturdy handle. It's got a little bit of reflective stuff on it that
has
worn off from the skin in the muddy does.
Okay, cool. guys, so before we get into the film of the day, let's have a little... What other horror guff you guys been picking out of your belly buttons this past couple of weeks?
Picking out of my belly button? There have been some terrible things I've been picking out of my belly button. You wouldn't even want to know. I haven't seen any horror. I did watch Mute, the Duncan Jones
felt
new
bad
film.
About that, cause I saw how bad it was getting. The responses were... I just felt bad for Duncan because he always seemed like a really nice guy.
Did you guys watch it?
No, I've not seen it.
I haven't seen it yet. No, I think I will.
I feel bad for Duncan as well because I've always liked everything he's done. But this was like just a mess. I mean, I had no idea what was going on half the time and I didn't care.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all I can say.
Really? I'm kind of hoping it's got some redeeming qualities, but no one said anything nice about it.
Redeeming qualities? It looks lovely.
Paul Rudd apparently is all right. It's got a tash in it.
Paul Rudd's pretty good in it as a character. A bit inconsistent. Yeah. Morally inconsistent, I found him. He was doing some stuff and then doing some other stuff, and I was a bit like, what's this guy about? Well, it looks lovely, but at the same time, it looks lovely as like a near-future Blade Runner-esque, albeit a little bit brighter world. Yeah. But in terms of plot and scenarios and characters, I just didn't care about anybody or anything.
No, it's not very good.
I felt a bit sleepy as well. I mean, it was over 2 hours long.
When so. It's called mute, did you have the sound on? Did you? Is that why it's so boring? I don't know what's going on at the door.
What's going on? Everyone's just doing sign language.
Yeah.
All
that.
Yeah. Yeah. So I mean, that wasn't horror, but it was kind of horrible.
Okay. Cool. Anything else?
No. Well, I've watched some other things, but no horror, unfortunately.
Yeah. What about you, Andy?
Same, really. Not much horror stuff. We've been cracking on with getting a Kickstarter ready, so there's not been much time for any leisure. I've been doing like extra different work in spare time. I managed to do a bit of still playing Assassin's Creed Origins, which is not horror related. I mean, there are mummies in it, but obviously because it's set in ancient Egypt, they're just contemporary mummies rather than spookiness.
Yeah. I have no idea what's going on in Assassin's Creed anymore. I remember playing the first one, and then every time I like turn around, it's like the pirates now. No, the Native Americans now. No, the Egyptians.
You were just playing the first one, getting confused by it just constantly. Are they pirates?
I fell off them for a little bit. I played them up until the American Civil War one.
Yeah.
And then I just couldn't get into it, so yeah. I fell off them for a bit, and I've come back with a new one. It's really good.
Yeah, I, the third one, which was the American Civil War one, I really didn't like that. I've only ever played the main installments. I've never played like Brotherhood and stuff. I really like Black Flag, though. I think that was great.
Is that the pirate
one? People tell me I should go back to pirate one, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's amazing. It's that good. I've played Origins a little bit, but not too much.
Yeah.
Got it, though, so I need to play it.
Yeah. So, other horror guff. So I finally watched 10 Cloverfield Lane. I've been putting it off for ages. Yeah. And I really, really enjoyed it. It's a really good, tense film. John Goodman's amazing in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a brilliant film. I haven't seen it for ages, but it's so good.
It's the best Cloverfield film, I think. I think, yeah.
But, a bit of a mad ending.
Yeah, it was. I knew that ending, so that's why I probably kept putting it off. I kept thinking, I know what the twist is, but it doesn't. It's kind of like irrelevant, because the main film is still her in the little bunker with John Goodman playing board games and making post-apocalyptic costumes.
Yeah,
it's good though. I really enjoyed it. I also watched Phenomena, which is on Amazon Prime. It's a Dario Argento film. So see if so the last film we watched of his was Suspiria. So this film, it's got a young Jennifer Connelly. I think it's maybe like a first film. It's around like Labyrinth sort of age. She's an American student who goes to a foreign school where no one speaks English.
Oh,
so it's almost the same as like Suspiria, but then and also there's like someone murdering the schoolgirl, so it's almost exactly the same, and it's got the same kind of weird music video-esque qualities to it. And then there's also like the death scenes. Do you remember in Suspiria there's also like, people are getting stabbed through the necks and stuff, and they're also getting like pushed through glass. A lot of being it's the same kind of murders. But then I prefer this one because this one goes absolutely insane. It's got Jennifer Connelly has like the ability to telepathically communicate with insects, so she starts working with the insects to solve them, like to find out who the murderer is. It's got
working with the insects.
Yeah,
that's good though, because flies, they're always the first on the scene.
That's exactly it. So
who did it?
So she had the fly in a box, and the fly takes her to the murder scene. It's got Donald Sutherland, who's actually like really, really good in it. He is like a bug expert, and he's got a pet monkey. I don't want to spoil it, but he gets killed halfway through the film, and his pet monkey vows. His pet monkey vows revenge. He gets like straight razor, and then the pet monkey saves the day with the straight razor by attacking killing the serial killer. It's insane. But
to be fair, I now have to watch that movie.
It's pretty good, actually. There's like a lull in like halfway through, but the last 10 minutes are just absolutely like, it's worth it just for those last 10 minutes. I would say, I don't know why, but on the Amazon Prime version I watched, it had so Ben, you know how Suspiria, we watched it and it had like a weird like English dub or an Italian dub. This one, it's all English dubbed, but then every now and again it would just switch over to the Italian one. as if they've lost the audio files of some of the scenes. So you just
can't
do them
again. It's too late.
Yeah. You just kind of have to wink. I mean, you don't need it really anyway. I mean, it's all visual stuff really. But I recommend it. It's good. It's I prefer this one to Suspiria, but Suspiria's prettier and more well put together.
I don't think I've ever heard of this before, so I'm just checking it out now.
Well, it was called... They did an American cut of it called Creepers, which apparently isn't as good. I think they cut out a lot of the good stuff. But Phenomena is the one on Amazon Prime right now.
I'll have to check that out.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to double up on your murderous monkey films, Luke, I can also recommend Monkey Shines. That's a real treat.
Wait, what's that one? I've heard of that one.
Monkey Shines is about a man who has an accident and he is paralyzed. We get to help a monkey. And then the monkey finds out, or the man finds out, that his wife is having an affair with his surgeon. So the monkey takes terrible revenge.
Is that like a parody of this?
No, it's done as a straight horror movie, but that monkey's up to all sorts. He does some arsons. I think he frames the guy for it. I don't know why he'd do that.
What year was that? Do you know? Was it like mid-80s or something?
It might be late 80s, early 90s.
There might have been like a, you know how right now we've got a clown horror thing going on. There might have been a monkey horror sort of wave at the time.
When help the monkeys go bad.
1988, apparently, Andy. Also known as Monkey Shines, an experiment in fear.
Yep.
Yeah.
I don't know if it paid off. Yeah. There's not a two.
This is weird.
Cool. Okay, so this week we watched number 12 on the list. I think it's one of Andy's favourites. I don't know your feeling on this one, Ben. A Nightmare on Elm Street, the first one.
Not the remake.
No,
I haven't actually even seen. Has anybody actually seen the remake?
No, I never bothered.
I've seen it once. It's no good.
With Jackie Earle. Strange though. Got Jackie Earle Haley, Rorschach.
He's really good, but I think the crux of it is that, and it's weird because Freddy's bad in all of them, but it's not so bad when he just murders kids. When he's out and out a paedophile, you can't really sort of...
Did they make him a paedophile in the remake?
Yeah, he's totally a paedophile in the remake.
Oh, no, they did that.
You can't sort of... Like, when he's just murdering teenagers and he's funny, it's like, oh, Freddy, you're a wrong'un, but you're all right. But when he's a paedophile, it can't be...
What puns is he coming out with when he's got... Is like...
He's not really pun.
He doesn't do any jokes, really.
Yeah. It's sort of like an origin story as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm not brushed up on Nightmare on Elm Street very well. Which Nightmare on Elm Street film is an origin story, as in like the earlier ones?
I think it's a combination of... it might be like 4 and they properly pan it out in Freddy's Dead. But there's bits of his origin in all of them, like in...
Yeah.
They're always all over the place, like trying to work out where his bones are and what happened to him. But they basically build on it every single sequel after the first one, really.
Yeah, but there's a bit of that in this one, isn't it, when they have the mum saying what they did to him.
Yeah.
But yeah. Okay, so Ben, have you got the IMDb thingy-majobby description?
Yeah, I sure do. So Nightmare on Elm Street. I'll just quickly do the synopsis a second. So several people are hunted by a cruel serial killer who kills his victims in their dreams. While the survivors are trying to find the reason for being chosen, the murderer won't lose any chance to kill them as soon as they fall asleep. So Nightmare on Elm Street is a 1984 American slasher film written and directed by Wes Craven.
Cool. This is what our friends at Empire had to say. There have been, at the time of writing, 9 entries in the Nightmare on Elm Street series, including a reboot, a crossover, and a sequel rather prematurely titled The Final Nightmare. It was not, obviously. None quite compared to Wes Craven's remarkable original. Taut, witty, and nightmarish, Elm Street stands out on the map during a decade hardly short of horror hits, and in Freddy Krueger, presented the most terrifying boogeyman ever to wear knitwear. It's got 94% on Rotten Tomatoes. It's right on the sweet spot of 7.5 out of 10 on IMDb.
Perfect.
Yeah, it's really good. So the question I think we need to answer in this episode is Freddy still scary? Because I remember when I was a kid, just the thought of Freddy used to be absolutely like petrifying. But now I kind of watch it and think, I don't know if a kid would watch this and be scared of this. It's too campy.
I think the critical thing with Freddy is that a kid now could watch that film and not be scared about it. Yeah. But if you explained what a Freddy Krueger was to a kid and they didn't have to rely on the effects of a film or anything like that, then that would be terrifying.
Yeah.
If you told your kids, I mean, of all of us, only you've got kids right then. So as an experiment, you tell them all about Freddy Krueger. I bet.
Yeah.
I'm sure my daughter would love that. She'd enjoy that. I just probably wouldn't bother. It's weird though, because like, I know what you mean. Like just the concept of Freddy Krueger is the scary thing. So I think when I was younger, I didn't really see many of these films, and I think I saw many of them until I was like a teenager. But I remember hearing about the concept of Freddy Krueger and Nightmare on Elm Street and being scared by that. I've seen this one before, but I mean, when you think about it, in this film, there isn't really that much Freddy Krueger in it in comparison to
the later ones.
Yeah, there's not that much, is there? I mean, there are times when we get deaths in this film and you don't actually even see Freddy Krueger.
Yeah. It's kind of keeping him in the mystery of like, ooh, who is this guy? But we know completely who he is.
It's
so
Fred
there's no
Kruger.
Mystery. Freddy, not Fred. Yeah. But when was the first time you watched it, Andy? Do you remember?
I was actually similar to Ben. I was terrified of Freddy Krueger for years. My dad has a brother who is maybe like 20 odd years younger than him. So when we'd go and visit my grandparents, he was still in his late teens, early 20s, like living at home. And he had a Freddy Krueger on his wall, a poster of him. And I wouldn't go into hanging out there. Like, I wouldn't go into my Uncle Chris's room because I was terrified of this Freddy Krueger poster. Yeah. So I probably didn't watch it until I was about 16. And then when I did watch it, me and a friend watched the first one, found it like kind of hilarious but still a good horror film. And then I remember we had a marathon of all of them. We went to Blockbuster Videos and got all the movies out on VHS and had a marathon of watching them. I think we fell asleep at about 3 a.m. and both had terrible nightmares about, actually it wasn't a terrible nightmare. In my dream, Freddy Krueger, he got his jumper ruined by some spaghetti, got really upset. And I took him into the town center, bought him a new jumper. He was delighted, and then we were going to go swimming, but I woke up.
Wow. And he had tiny little red and green trunks.
Yeah.
Like, nobody needs to see that.
But we've got your jumper sorted, Freddy. We've got all afternoon. What should we do? Because, do you want to go to the swim, Bats? Sounds great. Let's go. We had a great time.
The inflatables are out, but unfortunately.
Yeah, the floaters.
Ruined the fun for everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I don't know. What about you, Ben? Do you remember the first time you watched it?
Yeah, quite late. I think I've only ever seen this and maybe like one of the other sequels and then Freddy vs. Jason.
You know the one I've seen the most of was Dream Warriors, number 3. Because I reckon that one used to be on like Channel 4 or 5 all the time. Fairly regularly, anyway.
Yeah.
But that one's really good.
Dream Warriors is to Nightmare on Elm Street what Aliens is to Alien.
Yeah. I think from memory, I prefer that one to this one, actually. Dream Warriors.
Dream Warriors is all the classic lines of like, in my dreams, I am the wizard master and he does his magic.
Yeah. I was always a fan of Jason growing up. And then when Freddy vs. Jason came out, I think I watched that film the most, but I never particularly enjoyed it. I just kind of watched it because it's like Mortal Kombat, but with horror people fighting.
Which ironically is Mortal Kombat now.
Okay, cool. So let's have a look at the film itself, and then maybe at the end we'll decide, we'll give it a grade, and then we'll say is Freddy scary or not. So the key players we've got in the film: Heather Langenkamp, who plays Nancy Stumps. She did the special effects for The Cabin in the Woods, interestingly. Rob Englund, I think if anyone's into any sort of horror movie anywhere, like you're going to know who Rob Englund is. He plays Fred Krueger, is credited as. And Johnny Depp in his first role, I believe.
It is introducing Johnny Depp, Who knew that years later he would be one of the most terrifying figures in Hollywood?
Yeah. He plays a guy called Glenn Lance, who's Nancy's boyfriend. I think they're like the three main sort of characters. There are some more, like Nancy's parents and friends and stuff, but we'll get into them as we sort of come to them. I'm trying to remember how the film starts, to be honest.
It begins with What's-Her-Face, who dies fairly early. I forget her name. Her having a nightmare, being chased by Freddy Krueger. And that's... Oh, is that the one where he does the super long arms down there?
Yeah.
Oh, no, was she...
That's like the first time we see Freddy Krueger, he does a super long arms thing. Yeah, which is confusing because... The first time you see someone, you don't know the concept of like what Freddy Krueger's about, where he appears, screams, or what.
He's got long arms.
He's a stretchy man.
Yeah.
You see it happen again, so you're like a bit confused.
Yeah. Aside from that, you sort of see the glove being constructed, and then this is just a dream where that girl wakes up from that nightmare, doesn't she? And like her mom comes into the room and basically gives her a bollocking, says, either stop having nightmares or cut your nails. And it's sort of implied that a mom is a wrong'un because like some sweaty man comes around the door with her, like, what's going on here? Checking on your kid when there's some...
Wait, so at what point does Freddy chase her down the alleyway? Is that not the first
dream? I'm not sure if it's this dream or the later one actually where he actually gets her, but she has a nightmare basically and wakes up and then... ends up like rocking in bed, holding a crest, and holding
stop
a cross.
Stop having nightmares or cut your nails.
Yeah. So it goes the next morning, and then I think we have, is it at school where we introduce Nancy on the way to school or something?
Yeah, Nancy and Rod.
Rod. Yeah.
Rod. He's like a 45-year-old man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To be honest, he's got a temper problem, but he does get some pretty serious sass put his way because doesn't everyone else is talking, oh, I had a nightmare last night. Oh, so did I have a nightmare last night? And he comes up playing at the big un and he's like, oh, I woke up with a massive hard on this morning. Like with your name on it. And the friend whose name is Lisa says, my name's got four letters in it. How could he fit it on your knob? And he's like, fuck you.
He gets this right up.
That's a pretty good comeback. Why did they call him Rod? There's a bit later on where they're having a sex scene and she's screaming, oh, Rod.
Rod. Rod.
Was it a common name in the 80s? Rod?
Rodney, I guess. I don't know. But
Rod Stewart, Roddy Piper.
Yeah.
Rod, that's it, I'm out. That's two.
Yeah. So I think we get the idea that they're all sort of having similar nightmares, but no one's really talking about it. I don't think Nancy... Is Nancy having the nightmares yet?
I think she mentions having a nightmare. Is she one of those? Excuse me. Go lie down, idiot. Yeah, she meant.
People on the audio feed, that's Andy's missus. She's the.
I needed to pick her up onto the bed because she only this tall.
Yeah. So Nancy's not having the dreams yet, or she is, or...
I think she just mentions it, but we haven't seen them yet.
Mm. Because later on in the film series, like in the Freddy vs. Jason, they say it's like an infection. Like, you have a dream, you tell someone about it, and just the idea of Freddy becomes... He suddenly works his way into your subconscious or your nightmares that way.
Yeah, so more people get afraid of him. Yeah.
If anything, the film series... You what, Ben?
I was thinking about the science of it. I mean, I know it's not an exact science, but I was thinking, how's he roaming around in everyone's dreams?
Are they interconnected?
Yeah. Dreams, you know, we know nothing about them really, so it could happen. That's the thing about this film. It could happen.
It could happen. That's a scary thing.
Yeah.
It could
happen. But it's because of the important lessons of this film that anytime I'm sitting anywhere and someone says, oh, we had the funniest dream last night, I say, shut up. Keep it to yourself.
Yeah.
Don't want Freddy to get me, mate.
It was about Fred Krueger. I've never heard of it.
So we've got Nancy Glenn, who's Johnny Depp, who's boyfriend. Tina, I think, is the girl who's having the nightmares currently. And Rod, her boyfriend. Tina,
they have a sleepover, don't they?
They have a sleepover. Tina, I think, invites Nancy around because she's scared to go to sleep on her own or something. And Nancy's like, yeah, I'll sort you out, mate. I'll be there. And then Rod turns up.
But do they have really loud sex?
That's the old Rod bit.
If you invite Nancy over to stay, you're not going to be like, right, I'm going to go absolutely hammer and tong with my boyfriend.
The 80s was a different time, though. If you're having sex, you want everyone to know exactly how it's going.
Yeah.
But before that is when Johnny Depp has to phone his mom. Don't be dicks. Come on. He's like, oh, mom, I'm just here at my friend's house. And they're playing a tape of a shootout. And he's like, oh, I will call the police. Right, bye.
Yeah. That was weird. That was weird.
What did you think to Johnny Depp's acting in this? It's his first film and, he's going to go on to do big things.
Yeah, it was all right, wasn't it? It did the job.
Serviceable.
I believed he was the nice guy.
Yeah.
It was. He fooled us all. No.
So good acting. Yeah.
I mean, I really did believe, and we'll come into this later on. I could have believed he'd really been sucked into that bed and turned into mince.
Yeah, he did that quite well. Very method. So Tina, after worn out after a good rodding, falls asleep, and then this might be the alleyway chasing.
Yes,
the way Freddy chases after. Tina is not scared. He chases. No, he's got this kind of cartoonish.
He's like, whoa!
Yeah.
He looked tiny. He looked absolutely tiny.
Yeah.
When as well. Like a tiny man.
He looked like.
He's like, look, these long arms. I'm going to get.
There's a bit, I don't know if it's now or a bit later on, but there's so many synthy sound effects. There's a bit where it cuts to his, because you don't quite see his face. It's all obscured. We see little burn marks stuff, and it cuts to his tongue. And it makes this really weird, flapping his tongue. It's like a...
This is the same scene as well, isn't it, where he's cornered her with his gloves and he's going to give her a tickle in with them. And then she goes, oh, God! And he goes, this is God, and shows her his little... Shows her his gloves. He's sort of Crocodile Dundee's her. This is God. Nah, mate. This.
This is God, this weird gauntlet thing I've made.
He's like the kid at school that has got a spider or something or is going to eat worms. He shows you something a bit gross. He's like, hey, check this out. Chops his finger off and it squirts.
Oh, yeah. Is that Nancy's nightmare in the school or is that?
I'm not sure if it's there. I'm not sure when it is. All the nightmares mix into one.
Yeah.
He's always chopping his fingers off for a laugh.
He's always doing spooky things, isn't he?
Yeah. So Tina is having the nightmare. She's getting murked, basically. But I found this death scene pretty fucking horrible. So Rod wakes up and thinks there's someone in the bed attacking her. And she starts to get pushed up to the ceiling and bleeding everywhere. It's hardcore.
He pulls it and it shows her top gets pulled up and then it just gets invisible slashed and then blood is everywhere and she sort of rolls up the wall and onto the ceiling.
Some of the effects in this are really good. How did they do the ceiling thing for one and the slashes?
If it's not going to come in trivia later, I do know it's on the documentary. It's on that Never Sleep Again documentary. That room that they filmed it in was on a pivot, so they had it built up, and then they could tilt the room around and actually tip it upside down. So all the furniture was nailed down, and they could tip it around, they could actually this girl could roll up the wall.
Nolan did exactly the same when he made Inception.
Yeah,
he watched that documentary and he was
I copy that. But
I'd like to see a crossover, Inception meets Freddy.
Inception meets Freddy.
Yeah.
That'd be damn good. But I heard that the actress playing the girl got really sick and disoriented in that room and it was tipped upside down because it had, messing with her head and started to feel really ill.
Yeah.
So then Wes Craven came into the room to try and make her feel a bit better and get her out. And then he started feeling sick while he was in there. He's like, oh, bloody hell.
He just walked straight in and went,
I'm on the ceiling.
He called someone else in and they came in and the same thing happened. the whole crew ended
they're all getting infected
there. Eventually someone actually just poke a broom through the door and just pull them out.
I did mention Inception meeting Freddy, but they did that on Rick and Morty, that episode where they go into the dreams and they go inside Freddy's head. Yeah.
Scary.
Okay, so Tina is, destroyed. She's dead. Rod escapes out the window, and then Nancy walks in, sees all the blood, and then the police arrive, I think.
Rod is so I know it's terrifying, but Rod's attempts of like trying to help Tina are like just pathetic.
Yeah, useless. He's like, oh no!
Tina!
Ah! Oh, bloody hell! Ah!
He's probably feeling pretty sick from the room.
Being a bit giddy.
So, so the next day, Nancy, now we meet her mum, who I can't remember her name, which is called her mum for now. Her mum is a weird, like her performance. I don't know if it's the way it was written or it's just the actress. She acts really like, what did I say to you? And it's just like a blow up doll.
She's like a blow up doll. It's got some strings on her.
Yeah, she's so weird the way she moves around. Yeah,
like a thunderbird.
So she's like, be careful at school or whatever. Nancy leaves on the way to school. She sees Rod. They have a little conversation.
Oh, this is the trap, isn't it? Because also, adding to the evidence that they are the worst parents in the world, the same as the guys in It Follows, actually. Oh, you've just been present at a murder? Well, it's an exam year, so off to school. And then Rod pulls her into some bushes and goes, I know it looks really suspicious because I've just dragged you into some bushes, but I'm not a murderer, right? Yeah. But then her dad goes, ha-ha! I knew you'd try and talk to Nancy.
I was in the other bush.
Yeah.
Arrested.
He was in the bush within the bush.
He's in a bush within the bush with about 20 policemen.
Yeah. It's like the clowns coming out of the cars.
So
they use Nancy's trap. They've arrested Rod. Rod goes straight to the Nick. He goes straight to jail. And I think Nancy still goes to school anyway because she's like, I'm halfway there now. I'm just going to carry on and go to school.
I've got my bag with me, so...
Got me sandwiches and satsuma. I'm good to go.
Doesn't she also claim, like, it's kind of pointless? She goes, oh, but you haven't had any sleep. Are you sure you want to go to school? He goes, oh, I'll sleep in study hall. If you're going to go to sleep when you're at school,
therefore not
getting any of the benefit of school, sleep in bed.
Yeah. Nancy. but so she falls asleep. Lin Shaye is her teacher. Lin Shaye, who we now know is the head of the Insidious franchise.
Well, I recognised him.
It took me ages to work out because I knew Bob Shaye, Robert Shaye, was the head of New Line Cinema. It took me ages to realise, oh, they must be related. Lin Shaye must have just been acting in his film because of that. But it's interesting. And then she falls asleep. Someone's doing a Shakespeare reading. She nods off, obviously.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
That's a little nod off to Shakespeare. And then doesn't she see her mate, like, in a body bag, either waving at her or being dragged out of the room?
Oh, yeah, that's creepy. Yeah, like invisibly.
There's another creepy bit. Yeah.
Follows into the boiler room downstairs.
She runs down. She nuts a hall monitor on the way.
Oh, yeah.
She nuts, like, a stripy jumpered hall monitor. Goes, oh, where's your hall pass? And she gives a rigid dramatic, like, screw. Like, legs it down the corridor, and then the monitor has got a Freddy glove and goes, don't run.
Yeah, he loves a good gag.
I know, it's full of them.
And then she follows him into the basement, so this boiler room, I kind of feel like every house, whenever they're dreaming, they just always go, if you go downstairs they end up there or something.
I think that's Freddy's
base.
Yeah,
it's his lair. Or isn't it like where he got burnt or something?
It's like his workshop where he made his glove. I think like that was his little den that he had, and I think that is also where he got burned up. So I guess in dream world,
that's where he's stuck.
Come and catch us down there. That's like his favorite place. You think if that's where you got burned to death, you wouldn't want to go around there, really?
Yeah. Too many bad memories. Yeah.
Like a swimming baths.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Never get burned there.
Be safe.
So Nancy escapes. I don't know if there's much of a chase here. I think this is a bit where Freddy does a tongue thing.
And she gets burned, doesn't she? That's how she escapes. She burns herself on the radiator, and then she wakes up like absolutely going mental.
Yeah.
And the teacher like goes, get a hold of yourself. Best go home. No one go after her. You get back to work.
Yeah. She goes home, has a bath. I don't know if she sees it, but she's had a bath anyway. Falls asleep, which we know, you know, is very dangerous. Ben, did you fall asleep today in the bath? He nearly did.
No. I could have done that, I think, if I really put my mind to it. But I just had a nice, relaxing bath. Yeah. No sleeping.
Knocked at the door and said, you'll drown in the bath.
They don't fall asleep and now you're drained. Well, thanks, Captain Obvious.
Literally, what if a mum said that? Does a mum say that every time she has a bath? Or is it just today? I know she's having baths for years.
Brushing my teeth. Don't fall asleep while you brush your teeth.
Yeah. Choke.
On the sink.
I sleep in the bath all the time. It's quite a relaxing place to have a little nap.
I'd put a life jacket around your head so you can't sink.
Do you get out 4 hours later all withered?
Yeah. Amphibian, like, fingertips and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like it. Okay, so Freddie, she falls asleep in the bath, which her mum told not to do. Freddie's hand emerges from the bath. This bit, I wonder how they filmed this. This looks pretty cool. So he kind of pulls her into the bath, and it's as if they kind of have like a deep, they get underwater, like quite deep into it. And I think Freddy, what is he doing to her? Tickling her.
He's giving her a wrestling, isn't he? Yeah.
Yeah. Little headlock.
Yeah.
But how does she.
Little jabs in.
Yeah. She gets out though. How does she wake up? Is she.
Well, I think she's howling and screaming and thrashing about in the bath. And then a mom goes to get like a ruler or something to open the bathroom lock. She goes and gets like a really long bit of metal and she's like poking away at the door, and then she just gets out and goes, oh. And then her mom goes, oh, I heard you calling me. And then she immediately, even though she has almost been drowned, goes, no, mom, it was nothing. And I'm pissed off at you for coming in here when I was.
I'm trying to have a nice, relaxing bath,
drown,
sleep, almost die.
Yeah. Okay, so what happens now? So she goes back to school. Is she okay now?
I think this is the point where they start, like, she does start to question whether there's a Freddy Krueger about, because Rod is in prison. I think they've had some type of conversation with her dad at some point and said, oh, it isn't him or what have you. But I think this is around the time when she hatches the plan to go to sleep and have Glenn watch her sleep and wake her up if she starts having any trouble.
Yeah.
You had one job, Glenn.
Yeah. And then immediately he's useless. He falls asleep in that chair, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And she has another close encounter with Freddy. But I think most importantly in that bit, she sort of goes to the jailhouse.
While she's sleeping?
In the dream. And she sees Freddy walking through the bars and start to try and get Rod.
Yeah.
Get him!
There's a bit around here, I don't know when it is, but Nancy looks in the mirror or something and says, God, I look 20 years old. And I was like, you...
you bitch.
God, I look awful. I'm 19 years old or so.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, so Rod gets murked now, right? He gets ticked off. I think
he's okay at first, but then they pop along to prison and go, let us see him. And they all refuse, and by the time they actually let them in, he's been hanged. Freddy has stitched him up properly. He's with his covers, because unfortunately the police have put him in a cell that has bars on the ceiling.
Yeah, just monkey bars.
Monkey bars. Well, we've got to keep busy, ain't you, when you're in there.
when they're building it. Do you think people might hang themselves from it? Nah.
We take their belts off them, don't we?
Oh, true.
No shoelaces either. I mean, come on. Yeah. Well, we could get rid of the bars just in case, you know, because for another reason. Nah.
Just put them in nude.
The benefits of exercise are better. Yeah. You don't want to get really unhealthy while they're in prison.
I'd put them in nude and give them some shaky weights. Is that what they're called? They're all looking to shake one off. And,
I'd put them in nude. You would, when you're really corrupt police officer in Cornwall. Well, maybe we should put him in nude.
Don't have to hang himself.
Not to do him any damage. Okay, so...
leave the radiators on. Keep it warm.
Full blast.
Those bars are radiator bars. I feel like...
It's like a towel rail.
Yeah.
It's really hot bars, which is good, because then you're safe from Freddy Krueger's as well, because as Nancy's proved, if he tries to put you on them, you'll burn yourself when you'll wake up.
Yeah, exactly. That's...
Sorry.
That's the whole thing, yeah. Okay, so Rod's dead. Do you have a funeral?
Well, yeah, the priest proper slates him at his funeral, doesn't he? Even though he was never proved guilty of that murder, he goes, he lives by the sword, dies by the sword. Which I guess doesn't exactly mean he slashes up his girlfriend, hangs himself in prison, but like it's as close as you probably got in the Bible.
Yeah.
It kind
of... So at some point she describes Freddy to her parents, or...
Yeah, I think after Rod dies, she says, I know who did it, Dad. It was bloody... It was this other chap,
It was Frank Drugger.
Yeah, I used to know a guy who wore a jumper like that.
And look, at this point, the parents are already denying it, even before, because she doesn't know his name until she gets his hat with it written in. But she's already saying, oh, it's a guy with a stripy jumper. And like, not only do people just go, I don't know what you're talking about, but they outright, like her mom and dad, go, no, you're bloody wrong. There's no such person as a stripy jumper man that murdered people in this town. What? Ever,
no one
ever,
wears
ever.
Stripy jumpers, Nancy. Yeah.
I wonder what the thinking was behind, like, when they designed this character. Give him a lovely strut. I reckon someone just had that jumper.
Again, from the cheeky documentary, when they designed Freddy Krueger's jumper, they did the research on, I don't know, MS Paint or something, and they scientifically chose the two colours that are scientifically the grossest two colours to have together, that are the most visually disturbing.
Yeah. Well, like just the clash. The red and green clash?
Yeah, I feel it's like baby sick green and then just filthy filthy red.
Yeah.
Filthy red. Andy, you're wearing something similar. You're wearing a really filthy red.
This is a light filthy red.
The filthy.
If I had a green stripe on this, very disturbing.
Yeah.
So they take
your name in it.
Nancy to Dream Hospital.
I've got a hat here as well.
Yeah.
Oh my god, that's summer Freddy Krueger, that is.
On holiday Freddy, beach Freddy.
Yeah, you're right, she does take them to Dream Hospital,
and they make her sleep again, put her with like an EKG sort of thing.
Yeah, and they've got a special machine that can measure what dreams you have in.
As in bad dreams and good dreams, or just...
Yeah, I think the guy actually says, oh, a nightmare, that'd be about a 6 on here. If it goes to that, you know, she's having one.
Yeah.
And she goes to sleep straight away. I wish I could do that. It'd save so much time. She's like, right, I'm going to go to sleep now.
Yeah.
And that's immediately in a very deep sleep.
She could just be shattered. She's not been sleeping very well.
He's been keeping her up, hasn't he, I guess.
Yeah.
But and then when she wakes up from a dream, she's got a hat. And the first response is, yeah, we'll give you some of this to make you sleep.
Oh, yeah. Bringing hats out of your dreams. We've got medicine for that.
the cure for being really upset about going to sleep and bringing hats out is to go and have some more sleep. Some drug-induced sleep.
Oh, yeah, she's also got the thing on her arm. She's got grey hair as well at this point.
Yeah, she looks 20 by now. Oh, and we've also, I think it's during the... I think it's during the dream about Rod where she has the bit where she's run back to the house after seeing Freddy and they do the classic like melty stairs.
You know,
she's a foot sinking into the stairs and then she gets back to a room where Glenn has fallen asleep and slams the door and then Freddy bursts through the mirror and smashes up and does some theatrical slashing of the pillows, doesn't he? If you look, Robert England sort of slashes the pillow and then grabs it off her and goes, so scatters feathers everywhere.
There's also the really cool special effect. I think it was a little bit earlier. So I think Nancy falls asleep on Tina's sofa or something like that. And there's like a wall above. And it's like Freddy's face starts to come through the wall.
Yeah,
and looks down. It looks really good. I think that effect holds up today, like really, really well.
It still does, and I think that's one of the cliches now, isn't it? When you've got something ghosty now, that's what they do. They do like the hands or the face being pressed through the wall, like it's made of like a latex. But that's certainly the earliest one I've seen that has it in.
Yeah, is that like a canvas?
Still looks good.
Canvas sheet or something? I imagine.
Yeah, it must be.
Yeah. Okay, so. So Nancy now has grey hair, cutting her arm. She convinces Freddy. I think now she has a plan, right? So she's going to go.
Yeah, she's got the hat, and she's realised that she can. She confronts her mum and says, "Fred Krueger, mate," because it's written here in his hat. And her mum's already tried to throw the hat away. She goes, "Oh, I threw that in the bin."
Yeah,
I threw that in the bin because
the hat that you just conjured from your dream. Didn't seem it was important, so I've tossed it. And she gets it out the bin and goes, no, Fred Krueger, his name's written in this. And I think this is where her mom goes, no, because Freddy Krueger's dead because I killed him. And then they tell the story about, oh, he was a horrid child murderer. So we got him, banged to rights, but then someone forgot to sign the warrant in the right place. Can you imagine if that's such a thing happened?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, you didn't date an initial this, mate. Free to go.
He's a child murderer. Well, you know, logistics. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
And he admits it. Look at his business card. Fred Krueger, child murderer.
Nah.
This guy's name's Freddy Krueger. I mean, we're looking for a Fred Krueger.
Maybe that's it. That's the formality. They filled it in. Like the judge gave them a warrant to search Fred Krueger's house. They searched Freddy Krueger's house. Different bloke entirely.
Next door. The house next door. Oh, you want Fred. He's next door.
Yeah, this all the time.
Yeah. Okay, so she makes a plan. She said, I'm gonna go into my dreams. I'm going to pull him out, and I'm going to do... She's maybe watched Home Alone recently. I don't know if that's out yet. And so she's going to get like some...
How can you take things into your dream?
Whereas the other way around, it says you're going to pull, Briggs you're going to set the traps and then bring Freddy out.
I can tell you, come on, man.
As we've established, Ben, you've got to be ready because this is entirely feasible. It could happen.
Yeah, yeah. You never know. You never know. So
she set some ridiculous traps as well, didn't she? She sets
like a sledgehammer above the door.
Yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous. It's like, how does she get it up there? And like, that's gonna kill someone who comes out.
You imagine if her mum, oh, just get a cup of water. Yeah. Dead.
And her mum like decided to just put bars on every bloody window. Nah, like she... this time. Well, I've gone down to the old security store and I've got like iron bars for every window.
Iron bars on every window. Because her mum has a two-tier. So Nancy's plan, go into a dream and pull Freddy Krueger out into the Home Alone house she's made. Nancy's mum's plan for the same night, iron bar every window and door in the house, get fucking hammered.
Get absolutely hammered.
She gets absolutely shit-faced.
Turns out she's like, oh, not you again. Freddy.
She puts the bars up like within an afternoon as well. I'm sure that is like a big job. You can't do that in a couple of hours, surely.
Well, she's gone out and she's measured up, gone out and bought them and installed them all on the same day while Nancy's been out showing Glenn that book about a home defense.
Yeah, while Nancy's been setting up the sledgehammers and stuff. Or is this before?
It's a bit of a wonder. If it was all the same day, then surely Nancy and her mum would have crossed paths.
Yeah,
like, yeah. Have you got the Phillips head, Mum? Well, I need it. What are you doing? I'm putting bars on the windows. Well, I need to put a sledgehammer above my door.
They must have gone to the same store as well. They're both in the same store in the queue, just looking across at each other.
So also at the same time, so she was going to get Glenn to wake her up, Johnny Depp. But Johnny Depp's parents forbid him from seeing Nancy anymore because she's a bit dodgy. They're not too sure about her now.
They turn on the dime in like the course of an evening because the mum and dad are on the porch going, oh, poor Nancy. She's been witness to quite a few murders of late. She's having a hard time. And her mum and dad have put bars on the windows. And then they pop up and see Glenn, who's outrageously listening to music with headphones and watching the television.
Yeah. Yeah.
To be fair, we should have, again, something else you could have seen the signs because she says to Johnny Depp, what are you watching? He goes, oh, Miss Nude America's on. He goes, oh, if you listen to your music, how will you hear what she's got to say? And he goes, oh, I don't care what she's got to say. We should have known.
You should have known.
Then,
yeah.
Bad bloke in the bin.
It's a weird TV. I didn't know people had like those little CRT TVs that you put on your stomach and you sort of watch like that.
To be honest, 80s CRT TVs, he probably was at massive risk of like, penile cancer living that,
his sperm count has gone right down.
Either that or they've all got two tails.
Nancy isn't
rings up
to get him, but
the dad like goes no and then leaves the phone off the hook.
What a bastard.
It's gonna come back and bite him in his ass in 10 minutes. That phone's gonna be doing that weird noise. It's going to do his head right in.
That's a really good impression of like a siren, like an ambulance. This is the end of Glenn. This is the final chapter of Glenn. This is quite a good scene. It's kind of iconic. Yeah. He gets, as you said, he does some very good acting. He gets sucked into the bed and then squirted back out. The sort of evil dead sluice of blood.
It's almost like an old Mortal Kombat fatality, isn't it? With so much blood, more blood than ever was in a human body comes out, and like three skulls and several rib cages, and it's just like splashed all over the house. And then his mum walks in, is like,
whoopee.
Are you pouring gallons of blood in there? Oh no.
That's pretty bad. And then the ambulance turn up with a body bag. And I think the dad, someone says you're going to need a mop or something.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
Maybe that's where Jack Frost got it from. You know, the sort of sassy, quiet lines in the background.
Yeah, yeah. So meanwhile, across the road, Nancy is in the house with sleeping mum. She's managed to bring Freddy out. So they're going through their little Home Alone sequence. He's just like grabbed hold of the door. It's really hot. You know, it's like He's saying, Harry.
He's got chicken feathers all over him.
From the pillow just earlier.
Smash his face with an iron. Put a nail in his foot.
And he's got a spider on his face and he's freaking out.
He's gone over on the micro machines.
Stepped on some baubles.
Freddy Krueger gets like overpowered over and over again.
Yeah, but he's a tiny man. Yeah.
This is the man, child murderer. That's why he goes for children, isn't it? Because he just like they can't be
embarrassed. Easier to get before
Pick on someone your own size, okay?
Maybe that's it. Children. In the period that he was dead, that's when Home Alone came out. So that's why before Home Alone, it was fine to get him. But after, it's like, oh, now I'm fucked. I also love that Nancy's replacement for Glenn is basically a watch with an alarm.
Yeah.
She's got, oh, what am I going to do now? Glenn's like, set a timer, I guess. 20 minutes.
Yeah.
20 minutes. And then she wrestles him in the roses.
Useless.
She wrestles him in the roses, and then we have a bit of a fake out, doesn't she, where she's gone, bloody hell, didn't come out, did he? And then he's at the other side of the bed. And he's like,
yeah.
And he chases her about.
They're running around. It's a bit of a Scooby Doo moment. She disappears into one door, he comes out the other door, and then he goes back in
the chest.
Yeah.
And she hasn't put like shotgun like cartridge stuff in the light bulb, so when he turns it on, it explodes. It's like, oh.
There's one bit where she's screaming out of the barred window because it's across the road, all the police are there. And there's one policeman looking over, and she's screaming. And I think there's like smoke coming from the house at this point. And then like the policeman goes, maybe I better tell the lieutenant. Like, he's just really casual. Like, has no like urgency in his voice at all.
She goes like, get my dad, you idiot. And he's I'm not going to bother now.
Yeah.
If you'd have asked me nicely, then maybe.
Yeah. Mind your P's and Q's.
Again, this is another bad Elm Street parents thing, because she does speak to her dad before she goes to sleep, because she looks out the window, sees that Glenn's been minced, phones her dad somehow and goes, oh, Glenn's dead, isn't he? And he goes, yep, definitely dead. I mean, this is probably officially police business, but I'll just tell you
he's been minced. He's
and then,
in bad shape.
Not
in any shape.
Slash dry up. And then she goes, all right, well, I'm going to go and get the guy that did it. Come round here in 20 minutes. And he definitely, I checked and I watched it today. He says, yeah, I will. I'll come round in 20 minutes. Probably hangs up and goes, not really going to get round in 20 minutes.
Nah.
Just fucks off inside.
Yeah. So at some point, the house is on fire or something.
Yeah,
like
she
that.
Burnt. She tempts him down into the basement, douses him in petrol and sets him on fire.
Yeah.
And then it does more comedy of errors. She runs, she sets him on fire in the basement, legs it back up the stairs and waits by the door. He crawls up the stairs on fire and then she smashes him with the door so he falls back down the stairs. Like,
I'm a little bit confused as to what the hell actually happens in the ending. Like, I think I understand what they were going for, but so maybe you can clarify.
I read it as, so the dad and the policeman come in. Freddy has somehow got out of the basement and gone upstairs, leaving like a trail of fire footprints up there. And then her and her dad go into the bedroom and Freddy has got the mom. He's jumped onto the bed. They pull the covers off and the mom is a skeleton who like disappears into this vortex. Yeah. Like, goodbye.
What was the dad's reaction to that? Because it was like he was just watching like some darts on the TV and he was confused.
Yeah.
Like he was just looking at it like, what is this?
Yeah.
Like he just didn't understand. Like, what's there not to understand?
My wife has been burned to a skeleton and is disappearing into a mysterious vortex in the bed.
Like a weird blue light.
That's weird.
Then it goes back.
What was for dinner?
Then it goes back. Yeah, and then he does. He literally goes, well, better go and write this up then. And then he walks off and leaves.
What's he even going to write? He's going to better go and write it up.
Skeleton. Maybe that's it. Disappeared, melted into the bed.
Maybe that's why he's distracted, because as a policeman, he's going to have to write all that up. So he's like, oh, no.
Paperwork.
Yeah. To be fair, so she is just a blow-up wife. So he's like, oh, I'll get another one. Prime it. Get it tomorrow.
I'll get myself one that don't drink as much.
Yeah.
And to be fair, like, you know, we know that paperwork in the world of Elm Street is important. So if you sign a document in the right place, a renowned child murderer can go free.
So Freddy returns.
Fred. He waits for him. He waits for the dad to go, literally by seconds, and then he comes back out of the bed. He does the similar effect to the wall, doesn't he? But with bed covers, and he comes up.
Yeah.
And he goes out, and then she turns her back on him. I think there's a scene earlier on where they talk about there's some culture where they take the power away from their nightmares by turning their back on them, and then she gives him, she gives Freddy a real diss in. She goes, "No, Freddy, I take back all the power I give to you, you piece of shit." And he goes, "How fucking dare you?" And he goes,
"You're basic."
Yeah.
Just turns away. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, nah, mate. Turns her back on him. And then he goes to get her, but he just disappears away, doesn't he? And then, she demands, she says, "What I want from you, Freddy, and this is not a negotiable topic, I want my mom not to be a skeleton, and I want my friends back right now. Piece of shit.
You better unmurder them right now."
Yeah, and he goes, "Oh, well, that's told me then. All you got to do, these people, is stand up to them."
Yeah, but she's asking a lot from a person she's just taken the power away from. Like, I have no power now. You can't, I can't do anything. But it doesn't really. So if that's the end of that, and we cut to this next sort of outro.
She opens the door out of the bedroom into a front garden, right? And it's like, almost as if that bit was in fact a dream, even though she was definitely awake. And it's like JR stepping out of the shower, isn't it? Like, oh, well, her mom's there, and she says, "Oh, I'm not an alcoholic anymore."
And then this is, you know, pretty famous scene. So she gets in the car, Glenn's car or Rod's car or something, and it's, for some reason, he's gone for the coloured scheme of red and green, like it's Freddy's stripes. The car takes over, drives off somewhere, and he screams for her mum, who's waving at the door, and then she literally is a blow up doll this time, and she gets sort of pulled through
through the window.
Whazzed through the window.
Literally is a blow up doll. Just for its sake.
Yeah.
Actress did all her own stunts.
So I'm confused. So did she never actually wake up, or which would kind of make sense because the way the adults are sort of treating her, or is this last sort of 2 minute sequence kind of just like another, nothing? Like, is that another,
is that another dream or
within the dream?
I think most Freddy films start or end with a nightmare.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure.
Yeah.
It's never made explicitly clear, because as far as we're concerned, and with, if this was a standalone film, you could just say that was always a dream, and you can't really get rid of Freddy, and he sort of wins in the end anyway. But then Nancy is in the third one.
Yeah. So I don't even think the last bit really happened.
Really counts.
Yeah. Not canon.
Maybe they're all a dream from start to finish. Every single film ever. Can't take anything.
Although, I guess now, canon-wise, all of the Nightmare on Elm Street films are just films, because Heather Langenkamp plays Nightmare. Heather Langenkamp where Freddy Krueger's weakness is a toy dinosaur.
You know, I watched the new Nightmare, and man, that's really cheesy. I think it's so cheesy compared to this one. It's cool to see Robert Englund and stuff dying.
It's got some cool stuff in New Nightmare, but it is weird.
Yeah. Okay, so trivia. You guys ready?
Super ready.
Okay, cool. Number one, Ronnie Blakely, who plays Nancy's mum, in previous performances, she's won herself a National Board Review for Best Supporting Actress, garnered Academy Award, BAFTA, and Golden Globe nominations for previous performances, not this one. True or false?
Oh, I mean, based on form.
Let's say true.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with true.
Yeah, apparently it's true. Apparently she's a really good actress, but I didn't see much of that in this.
That's the type of stuff you can use up, though, isn't it? You could use up all of your good acting.
Yeah, and then you could phone it in the horror movie. So. Yeah. Because at the time, this was like a really low budget. No one thought this was gonna work at all, I don't think.
No.
Okay, number two, New Line Cinema was saved from bankruptcy by the success of the film and was jokingly nicknamed what?
Uh, the film was or New Line Cinema was?
Yeah.
So the New Line Cinema got a nickname from this film because they were like going to go bankrupt pretty soon. But this film was a huge success, and from this they were able to, you know, make a ton more movies and stuff. And it got quite a famous nickname that you probably will know, but you know, you don't know right now. Any ideas what it could be?
So confused. Freddy Krueger Cinema. Line Freddy. Krueger Line Cinema. I don't know.
The house that Freddy built.
Yeah, that's it.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Do you think you knew that somewhere? And like,
it's in there somewhere. Yeah, rattling about.
The house that Freddy built. Yeah.
Of your mind.
Yeah. Nice one. Okay, so number three. One of the main reasons Johnny Depp was chosen was because Wes Craven's daughter had a crush on him. True or false?
Wait, say again? One of the reasons?
Johnny Depp was cast in the role of Glenn.
Had a crush on him from where? Just like knowing him down the street?
Just seeing him pop in that day. So, oh, fancy him. Give him the job.
Yeah, true.
False. Go on, let's mix it up.
True. Apparently she said he was dreamy. So,
oh, you're ever so dreamy, you are.
Wes is like, oh, I'm making a film about dreams.
Yeah, dreams are in this, just the job. Get in.
Yeah.
Right, okay. Can you fit into a small hole in a bed?
We'll work it out.
Not a small hole.
Yeah. Okay, number four. What film is playing on Nancy's television? The scene is a horror movie playing.
Oh, it's Evil Dead. No. Yes. Yeah. Evil Dead or Evil Dead 2. Evil Dead.
You going with Evil Dead, Andy?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll join you on Evil Dead.
It is the Evil Dead, number one. Yeah, well done. Okay, the last one. How many gallons of fake blood was used in the film? Give us a rough estimate and we'll whoever is the closest.
500.
50.
Oh.
500.
Gallons?
Exactly, 500
gallons. Must have wasted some of that. Jeez.
You two are like, you.
Gallon of blood. Going the whole way through.
You two are on it today. I feel like you've been even like studying up or something. It's insane.
That's what you'd like to think, and I'd like you to think we did that as well, but unfortunately, definitely not.
Okay, so we need to rate the film. So, Ben, would you like to take the first rating?
I mean, it is a classic, isn't it? As I said, not much Freddy in it, for as far as I remember. But, I mean, it's still good. And obviously, again, the concept of the film is sort of done really well throughout. Loads of interesting takes on it. Probably give it a B.
Okay, interesting.
A B for Bravo.
Like, yeah, I'd have to say for Nightmare on Elm Street, like, I do really, really enjoy it. I think some of the effects might have dated and some of the acting is questionable now, but I still really enjoy it a lot and I could still watch it very regularly. I'm gonna stick with my heart, not mark it down like poor old Deep Blue Sea the other week, and I'm going to stick with an A for Fred.
A, you know. So B for Bad Dreams from Ben, A for A Really Bad Dream. Yeah, I'm going to go for a B as well. I think it's a really good film. I think I just feel like it's dated. I don't think I could watch it like you, Andy. I think I can watch it every couple of years or so. But I think I would much prefer to dip into the sequels a bit more now and sort of explore more of that.
Guys, when this list is finished, if you still got appetite for more Freddy, we should probably watch number two.
That's the...
I sent you guys that clip of it.
Oh, yeah, with the dancing. Yeah. Which is the one that ends with the bus? You know how like they have like the outro sting?
That's number two.
Okay, yeah. I think I watched that a few times, yeah.
Yeah, number two's the one with... again, you watch that documentary. I think the documentary's called Never Sleep Again. It's about all of them. And this was the one where, when it came out, loads of people said, oh, it's a metaphor for that character being gay, isn't it? Because, you know, he's trying not to, he doesn't want to be necessarily, and it's something that's coming out of him. And then there's that scene where the coach that goes to S&M club gets whipped to death in the showers, the steamy, steamy showers. And then when they came out, the director was going, "Then what are you talking about, mate? It's not gay." Like,
who did direct this one?
The second one, I couldn't tell you the name. But I think there's a rumour that when they were casting for it, another person who went on to become a huge Hollywood star was almost cast in it. I think maybe Brad Pitt or something like that. And then Nate...
He's almost cast, but then they signed the paperwork in the wrong place.
Oh, no.
And they were like, sorry, we can't cast you. Because, you know, rules is rules.
Yeah,
once you've done that. But, yeah, Freddy, Nightmare on Elm Street 2 is arguably terrible, but in many other ways, excellent.
Okay, cool.
That's my favourite ratio for anything in life.
Yeah.
Okay, so next week, I think we'll be jumping straight into the next on the list, I guess, which is The Exorcist. We'll have to wait and see. Sometimes we just change our minds. but yeah.
Just change our minds on the fly. Yeah, Exorcist. I thought, yeah, we should probably watch that. That is probably, well, I don't want to spoil my review, but probably the film I'm scared of the most.
Really? Interesting.
Always have been.
And then now we know.
And now we know,
to like, if it gets to a little bit later on in the week, you get start to get cold feet, you end up, hey, look, maybe we should do Anaconda this week.
Just a scary movie. Anaconda's scary as well.
Yeah.
Anaconda's scary. Remember when John Voight, there's like a shot of John Voight getting eaten? And you can see him.
It's all gooey. Do loads of like really sort of naff late 90s horror films. So you do Congo. Anaconda, do The Relic, or Congo.
Yeah. The Relic. I used to love The Relic, actually.
Be good to watch. Could you consider in. It is Guillermo del Toro, isn't it?
The Relic. No, you're thinking of Mimic. The Relic.
Mimic. Yeah, that's what I was thinking of. Relic, Mimic, Potato, Potato.
Maybe that's the next series. Basically, late 90s, early 2000s films that start with the word "the."
Yeah.
And then you're away. 100 films.
In honor of Guillermo del Toro winning an Oscar, we should probably do one of his films soon. We got one coming up, haven't we?
Pan's Labyrinth coming up. Yeah. The one film I've not seen is Chrono. That's the only del Toro film I've not seen.
The vampire one, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I quite like Mimic, though. You like Mimic?
Yeah, I like Mimic.
It's a long time ago.
It's the cockroachy people, isn't it? And Mr. Funny Shoes from the beginning. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So this show is brought to you by Hawk and Cleaver. Head over to hawkandcleaver.com. Become a patron over at patreon.com/hawkandcleaver. Thanks to Kovacs Cameron for our theme music. Thanks to Acast for hosting the show. Thanks to the listeners. If you enjoyed the show, give us a 5-star rating review on iTunes. Remember to hit subscribe. Come over to the Facebook group. That's Horror Hangout Board of Advisors. Thanks to my co-host Ben for being a real horror dude. Thanks, Ben.
Yeah.
And once again, thanks to Andy.
Thanks, Andy.
For you've completed the trilogy, the turkey.
Yeah.
You've won.
I've won podcast appearances. Yeah. Well, thanks for having us as always, guys. I'll give you a little bit of and your listeners a little bit of peace and quiet from my shenanigans for a while. Yeah. But I'll see you again one day soon.
Yeah,
not for too long, Andy.
Remember to follow Andy on Twitter. He's doing a Kickstarter soon for his horror comic. And follow the thing with Jobly. They're at Horde Comics. Is that right?
That's it. Thanks very much.
Go. All right, guys. We'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.